Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi there, folks. This week on Termion, Bridie and I had the absolute pleasure of chatting with a beautiful man named Michael, who is the founder and creative director of The Play. I'm not going to say much. I feel like you got to tune in for this one because it's a really, really cool conversation. But what I will say is that The Play is an event, a play party, that takes place down in LA, and after you hear what this is all about, I can guarantee you there's going to be a couple of Termion listeners who are going to be scrambling to sign up for the next event. So I hope you enjoy this as much as we did, and we'll see you on the other side. All right. Well, I'm really, really excited for this chat. Today, Bridie and I are joined by our new friend, Michael. And as the founder and creative director of The Play, Michael has led the play party community for over 6 years, offering a wealth of firsthand experience and knowledge, guided by the principles of health, consent, intimacy, and artistry. I love all four of those.
Same.
Michael creates safe and inclusive spaces, fostering genuine connections and cultural evolution. One such space, I mentioned it earlier, The Play. It's an event of unique curated play parties that bring together an exclusive community for authentic connections and inclusive self-expression. Michael, so stoked to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we dive into everything, please just take a moment, give yourself a second to introduce yourself to the two of us, to all of our listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, first off, thank you for that awesome intro. hearing it just gives me goosebumps.
I love
it. I've been head down working in this space for a while. We started The Play, my wife and I started The Play in 2018. And, prior to that, I was working in film and television in Los Angeles as a producer. And, my wife and I, prior to us getting married, we decided to be non-monogamous. So we are one of like the rare couples that were non-monogamous prior to marriage. And then our first year being non-monogamous, I heard about play parties and I went to one and my mind was blown. And I use this example all the time. It felt like vampires were living amongst us and like,
oh yeah,
I'm finally on the scene, so it was so cool seeing it because it was such a cultural shock. And I think that's, you'll hear me reference the play party culture a lot because that is why that's my intention with the parties and the play is to shift the culture that we have at play parties. So, Yeah, once I got on the scene, I went to a bunch of different parties, whether they were like hotel takeovers to friends going to Joshua Tree, just seven of us, and house parties, and pay tech party where you purchase a ticket to. And they all felt a little off. None of them like had the vibe that we were looking for. And we would meet other people there, and everybody else kind of had that same feeling. And I think a lot of play parties, maybe the ones that have been around for a while, or even some that are popping up, they have what I like to call the swinger vibe. And the swinger vibe is a very transactional vibe, right? Like, I'm into, you know, we're a couple and we like you as a couple. And like, you know, she's into him a lot, but he may not be into her a lot, but it's enough for us to play. It's like, why are we compromising here, guys? Like, if you are into her and she's into you, like, you guys can play. And we are okay not engaging and just experiencing compersion from you both enjoying yourselves. So that was one of the things I wanted to change when we started the play. The other part was you go to these parties and you would see a lot of people like expressing themselves creatively, right? Like there's somebody like flogging in the corner. There's somebody experiencing shibari. And a lot of times, you know, some people are in like subspace during that time. And it's super weird to me when someone is deep in subspace and someone who may be new to the lifestyle and play parties just comes over and is like, oh my God, girl, you look so cute. You look so hot. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, they are in a zone. And if we don't like respect that space that they're in, then it really messes up the kink for everyone. So I wanted to have performances at a party to accentuate the art, but also to give them the respect and attention that it deserves. And everybody has a really unique form of expressing themselves. And I think another thing we like to do with the play is just find new ways that aren't like seen on Pornhub of like kink and fantasies. Because I think a lot of times when people think of kink, it's like they're thinking like dungeon vibes, or, you know, when they think BDSM, it's like, I'm going to be in this dungeon. It's going to be dark. Everything's going to be black and
leather.
You know,
yeah.
Like I just always felt like I go to those spaces.
Suffocating. Yeah.
Right. And like Dracula's just going to come out of the corner. I'm like, whoa, bro. So we wanted to just change it up and not bring like light to the darkness. That's not it. It's just figuring out people's true vision for their fantasy. Cause when we get into people's visions for their fantasy, it's so creative. It's you know, it's infinitely many forms of expression, and it's just getting to know that person to see how they want to express that fantasy. Mm-hmm. And we provide the lights, the staging, the music, the sound design, the atmosphere. You know, we have a team of erotic producers, and I'm jumping ahead, but okay. The question was, tell me about yourself. So I've been doing these play parties for 6 years. And prior to that, I worked in television and film. Prior to that, I worked at Google and LinkedIn as an operations manager. Prior to that, I worked in high-speed food manufacturing. Ooh, working on the factory floor. Yeah. And then prior to that was college. I've always been in leadership positions. I will say that. I grew up in Los Angeles. I was a child actor. Like I acted and modeled my whole life. And then in school, and then I was always like, you know, captain of whatever sports team I was on. And then in high school, I was like president of the applied economics class. And then, and one of my favorite things is in my junior year, I hosted TRL. You know, for like West Coast.
No
customs.
Way.
I know.
Yeah.
It was so cool. But I was in like the broadcast journalism class. And then when I went to college, I became like, you know, director, chair, or president of like 12 student, faculty, or staff organizations. And I eventually became the University of Houston student body president. Go Cougs.
I love it. I mean, so many things came up for me there, but one thing that I find really funny is when you said your first time like entering a play space, like a play party, and feeling like you were sort of initiated or walking amongst the vampires. It just made me think of that opening. It's like my favorite opening scene to any movie ever, I think, honest to God. The opening scene to Blade, except you're not, and like, luckily you were not the dude dragged there to be feasted upon. But I mean, which is funny, like that scene also, I think, gives people the same kind of, like, people who aren't familiar with play parties, like that's the vision, you know. It's like, it's just a sweaty rave where everyone's like, you know, ready to feast on some innocent bystander, and it's like, it's kind of scary, and who knows, maybe blood will start pouring from the sprinkler system above head.
I do think people feel as if they're going to be this little lamb at the party, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to come to this space and they just don't have experience. They don't have the language. They don't have the confidence really to be in the space. So they just like, well, it's not for me. Like, but it's like, well, you like sex and you like parties. But like the sex party isn't for you. You know, we're not even saying you got to hook up with anybody else. You can just hang out. So it's interesting the excuses that people give themselves on why this space is so taboo. And I think that's what we do at the play. Like, we just identify each excuse and then we have a solution for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I've never thought about it like this, but it's kind of like it's sort of like karaoke. You know, it's like, who doesn't love music, right? And everybody loves singing, whether you do it in public or not, just like everyone loves to party and everyone loves to have sex. And so, you know, a lot of people go to karaoke and they're like, no, I'm not going to get up there and do that. Like, it's too embarrassing, or like, I don't have the confidence or whatever. And then once you get them up and they do one song, they do not stop signing up. Like, they're just on it. They love karaoke after that one dip of the toe into the deep water.
It's empowering to hold a microphone in your hand. I think that's part,
just like
a good,
it's empowering
part of it.
To hold a cock in your hand while you're hanging from ropes and having someone tickle you. Like, you know.
I think we got a new idea for the play.
Cock karaoke. Hey. Yeah. I'll send you an invoice. I'd love to kind of talk about the play, and kind of dive into where that all began. But one thing that I just love about the idea of the play is the incorporation of like artistry and like production value. Like there's for anybody who's ever been to like a really fucking banger of a party, you know, like an organized party, not like just a house party, but I'm talking like, you know, a charity ball or like some sort of party where it's like, there's been money pumped into the production value of this thing. Mm-hmm. It just heightens that experience so much. And I love the idea that is like a part of this thing that you're creating. Especially someone who comes from that industry. So like when you first started to like get into creating this, what was, you know, was that at the heart of what it was that you wanted to do, to like add the artistry and add this production value? And how did you go about doing that? Like, how did you navigate that from the early days, and how has it evolved up till now?
How it started. We were at a friend's house who invited me over. We worked on the set at like Universal Studios. We liked like one of these sets that are there. So he's like, come over, let's have a movie night. And we have this movie night, and all of a sudden we are, you know, we watched the movie and he had like a bunch of like beds out. And I was like, okay, this is interesting, but like LA, right? So we're watching the movie, and then all of a sudden, my wife and I have been in the lifestyle for a bit, like maybe like 8 months. So like we started seeing the signs of like, is this gonna be a play party? Okay, but we know how to work in this. And I don't think they had the intention for that, but like one thing led to another. We're all making out, you know? And as we're making out, they like changed the movie thing into like this projector. Like a galaxy. So the projector's projecting on this infinity wall, and it's like a 20 foot, you know, wall, 20 by 20. or 20 by 30 maybe. So it's just huge. And one of the women gets up and just like starts prancing around, you know, damn near naked in front of it. And like her body is cloaked in this galaxy. And then I'm seeing her silhouette behind that. And I was like, oh my God, why are we not spending time on the beauty of this and the erotic self-expression? Like, I could watch this all fucking night and I don't even have to have sex. And this would be just profound. And, you know, we were like, let's do this again. Let's invite people. Let's like make it a thing. And it was in an art studio at the time. And each couple, we like challenged each couple that was coming to like do something unique and sexy and erotic, you know? So, or for the people who wanted to. So I was on the side, like, you know, my wife isn't like the performing type. So I was like, I'll just produce all of everybody's, like, just let me know what your idea is. And like, I'll fucking make it come true. Like, I know, it's like, we're gonna, and we're in like a, you know, it is a, it was like a photography studio. So we have all the tools that we need. Like, I mean, everything that I have on set, I've got here. So like, let's make it sexy. Okay, what do you want? You want what kind of light? You want this lighting? You want this sound? You want like any sound design? Is there like anything you want projected? Or like, you know, one woman wanted to say like a poem, and the poem had to do with like rain and like some, like almost like sex in the rain, but like washing away the shame and the guilt around her sexual experiences. And so we propped her up in this chair. She came in like an awesome just outfit, you know, just beautiful. And it wasn't even like, you know, revealing. It was just like this sexy gown that went everywhere, you know? And then we had her in a chair, and then we propped up an umbrella over her, and then we projected rain onto her. So like, you're seeing like this rain come down, but she's in this umbrella, and the shadow makes it like to where rain's not getting on her. Then we put some like dry ice under the chair, and then poured some water on it. And then like, but you couldn't see like where the dry ice was. So then you have this smoke coming on the ground with the rain on top. She's got the umbrella, you're seeing the silhouette, and then she's reciting this poem. And it was just like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Like, sex wasn't involved, but we still did something that was erotic, and it turned everybody on. And that's when, you know, and then someone else did like, wanted to do flogging, you know? And so I was like, I just don't want to do straight up vlogging. Like, vlogging is cool, but you see it all the time. Like, how can we like make it a little more different? How can we add the artistry into it? I was like, why don't we just dip every tassel in a different color paint? And like, you know, we'll put something up to make sure it doesn't get everywhere. But like, what if every time you flog her and we get a whip, we're getting like this kind of splash off? Yeah, art, like, ooh, like now that is awesome, you know, to where she's experiencing the pain, the pleasure and pain of the flog, but we're getting this like eye candy. And that was super cool. When we first started doing the parties, it was like 7 performances, you know? And so nowadays we've got it down to like 3 main performances, but you know, what I realized is like, we could do 7 performances like every other month, you know? And like, that's the demand. Like, people wanted to do it, and people wanted to express themselves erotically, and people wanted to experience their fantasies. And so it doesn't have to be this art show. We can just hold space for someone wanting to experience their fantasy, you know, with people around, you know, the exhibitionist in us and the voyeurs in us who just, hey, I'm not here to perform, I'm just here to enjoy. And then what happened is like that, because people were expressing themselves, they were opening up and becoming a little vulnerable. And this is the key to a good play party, is when people become a little vulnerable, you know, and the vulnerability speaks to deeper self-expression. And deeper self-expression correlates with authentic connection. And authentic connection can lead to a physical interaction. And then that physical interaction can lead to my favorite, which is pillow talk, you know?
I love that. I love that. I really like the thing that really speaks to me is taking, you know, so like the flogging example, which I think is really great. When I think of Shibari, there is an art to that. And so like, as the viewer watching someone partaking, you know, you are looking at something that is fucking gorgeous. Like you're looking at this person, whether they're, you know, say someone's suspended and they're tied in this like very intricate way. Like that in and of itself is a piece of art to marvel at as the witness. The person that's taking part in that is also experiencing something that internally is also like, you know, very profound and very beautiful.
So,
and then to take, but to take that and like introduce that visual artistry to other forms of play that maybe don't actually, you know, unlike Shibari, don't give you that inherent visual sort of appeal, like the flogging and dipping it into paint. Like that's a, I think it's a really, really cool idea.
It includes the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great way to include everybody. Yeah.
That's what we try to do. So like our last party, the play is Tantric Temple. You know, we had some like, right now the play is like, we've evolved to don't come into the play as like purchasing a day pass to a sex positive festival. Okay. That's what we're up to now. And I'm going to get into that in a second. But one of the performances that we did with Shibari, because I also am the type, I don't like doing two performances twice, you know? So with this one, we had someone suspended in Shibari and we had given maybe like 20 or 30 people in the crowd roses. And so they went up and were able to place roses all over her, you know? Mm-hmm. So now she's suspended with all these roses and you know where you put your rose. And then, you know, we had a snake guy there and we put like two snakes on the woman. So you have these snakes intertwining with the rope and over the roses on her, to her naked body, all going different directions and getting even more entangled. And then we just rotate her so everyone can see. And she's just like spinning around in a circle with snakes and roses and, you know, Shibari, you know, and that's, this is why I love this. It's like, how can we find new ways to express and add just, you know, whether it's you're adding nature or color or different types of lighting. There's just so many ways to express yourself erotically than what we've seen in the BDSM space.
Yeah.
That is like, and I don't want to like generalize the BDSM space, but like, let's just say like in porn, right? Like you're not seeing that in porn, in mainstream porn. Cause I've seen some really cool BDSM things that have, you know, inspired me. My intention with the play is to shift this culture, right? So, when you're coming to a play party, you don't have the skills. Like you don't know the skills to interact in this space. If it's your first time, what we do is to become a member of the play, you have to fill out an application. So that application, we're asking specific questions to get an understanding of where you're at in your development and like, or where you're at in this space. If this is your first party, we're going to have a different conversation with you versus if this is your 20th party, right? We want to know from everyone how you express consent, right? Like how... Let's just, cause that's one of our pillars. So you submit the application, we review the application. And the other part, a lot of parties are just going to look at the picture in the application and be like, yeah, they're hot. Let's have them. Like, absolutely not. I'm from Los Angeles, right? I've been a model and you know, an actor. And so if I'm going to take you at face value for your picture, like I know so many models where it's like, yeah, they look hot, but you try talking to them, you're talking to a brick wall. You know, like that's great that you're hot. Like, where's the, we want some personality here because people are going to, this thing is about connection. And if you want to be sealed off because you feel that you're so beautiful and like this wallflower, this isn't the space for you. You know, to me, the play isn't the space for you. You know, we want interesting people who want to engage in this, you know, like we want you to be excited about this experience. I'm not here to convince you. You know, like I'm here to educate you on how to be successful in this space. So so we look at their picture and like a lot of people's picture, you know, especially in Los Angeles, like we're the capital of motion pictures and filters. So I can't trust the picture of you on vacation where the sun's hitting you perfectly and they got you just right spot. Like, no, we have a human to human conversation. So if you pass our application process, we set up an interview. And that interview, you know, we're offering such a human experience that we have to inject humanity into the onboarding of this experience. It can't just be click a few boxes and like, oh great, they answered those boxes correctly. Especially like as AI begins to develop, right? Like we have to make sure that we're keeping humans involved in human experiences. So then we have the interview with them, and during the interview, we're gonna talk about, you know, tell us about your experience and the lifestyle. So I'll know based off that interview if, you know, Jeremy, you drug Birdie to this, or Bridie to this, you know, sorry about that. You drug Bridie to this interview, right? I can tell in the interview, like she clearly doesn't want to be here, right? Mm-hmm. You're just talking about your experience and she's just fawning over here. So although he may be a great addition, absolutely not. You guys aren't ready. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with enthusiastic yeses from both parties. So these are things that we're looking out for. And we have a team of interviewers with like super high EQs to look out for these things. So then we talk about, you know, during that interview, we're asking, hey, what are your boundaries? Right. So some couples are like, they're new. Like, we don't have any boundaries. Like, absolutely. Like, so is it okay if I shit on your chest, you know, a little Cleveland steamer, you know, like, no, of course not. It's like, well, that's a boundary. And it lets me know that you're really not aware of how intricate this space is and where people's fantasies may lie. All of us have boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not a deal breaker if you don't, but I usually tell couples that don't have boundaries, you know, go in separate rooms and write down your boundaries and then come together and see like, you know, where this Venn diagram overlaps. Mm-hmm. And talk it out, because what you don't want to do is have people do boundaries in the same room, because somebody's going to be influencing the other person's boundaries if it's in the same room. So a little tip to new couples. We then will just talk about, you know, how they heard about the play, what interests them in the play. So we know, like, you know, if there's a true interest, like, oh, I just go to all the play parties. Like, okay, well, you know, great. So what's getting you excited about this one, you know? So we also know that, hey, this is what excites this person. We're doing a very curated experience. So it's like, okay, this person's into Shibari. Awesome. Like, let's try to have like five people at the party that are into Shibari. Maybe they'll connect. Yeah, we do a lot of that back end stuff. So like, just cause you want a ticket to the party doesn't mean we're going to allow, you know, give you a ticket. We've been fortunate to sell out of every party for the past 3 years. So we are on the back end. We're like making sure that, you know, there's some matches, play a matchmaker a little bit there. Mm-hmm. So then after that, we talk about our pillars, you know, health, consent, intimacy, and artistry. So once we tell them the pillars, we go over our, what makes the play unique, right? Because a lot of people have been to one or two before situations. Like, well, why do I want to come to this one? Like, let's explain why. This is what makes us stand out. Health. We are the only party in Los Angeles that you purchase a ticket to that requires an STI test. And I would venture to say that we're the only party that requires an STI test and an interview to attend, maybe in America. I'm not aware of the other ones. Let's just put it like that. But it's all to say is like, this is the culture that we're trying to change. We want you to get tested prior to coming to this event, and the testing needs to be done within 90 days of the party you want to attend, right? So people have kids, people have lives, you know, like trying to say, hey, a week before the party, you need to get it done. Like, look, that just may not fit with people's schedules. And what we're, yes, we are trying to create this safe space, you know, but because we're dealing with a demographic of 1,500 people, you know, I think we're almost at like 18 now. For a community, our standard is you getting tested once per quarter, right? And if you do it less than that, then that's fine. But when you want to come to the play, you're going to have to get a recent test. Yeah. And a lot of people that are in this space and that go to play parties, they're getting tested like every other month already. So most of the time, it's just like, here's my test results. Can I purchase my ticket? You know? But that's the culture that we're trying to create of like, hey, if you're going to be sexually active, then you should be also getting tested just at, you know, once per quarter. It's a great starting spot. And we also, how we change the culture around testing is like, you know, we'll have events centered around testing. We'll, you know, in our group chat, like, hey, everybody, let's go to AHF, this testing facility, and like get tested and go have a drink. Like, it's just a normal thing. We don't need to have a stigma around like, why are you getting tested? You know, like, no, I'm just getting tested. Like, it's a normal thing to do. Like, I go to my doctor, you know, once per quarter, you know, to check on everything. So the other thing is like, let's say that somebody does have something. And the other thing, we're testing for HIV, gonorrhea, syphilis, and chlamydia. We don't go down the HSV1 wormhole. There's like a lot of science out there, and you know, I think like 80% of LA has it. And it's like, you know, if you're taking the medicine, if you're like taking the medicine and have a flare up, it's like a 4% chance. But if you're like taking the medicine and don't have a flare up, it is like a very, it's like a 1% chance that this happens. But don't quote me, do the research. but those are the ones that we test for, because those are ones that are solvable. You know, with HIV, you can be on PrEP. You know, with gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis, these are things that there's cures for. So if you have something and you let us know, hey, I got my test results back and I have gonorrhea, like, how we receive that information is how we change the stigma, right? So on my team, you know, I'm telling the concierge, here's the language that we use when someone tells us they have an STI. Thank you so much for taking care of yourself. Thank you so much for taking care of the community. Not a worry at all. Here are some resources where you can go to get cured, or, you know, to fix whatever, I hate to say fix, but to address the STI. Exactly, to treat the STI. And if you are able to do it in time for the party, just send us, you know, results with all negative, all negative results, and we're happy to have you.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I love that. That's amazing. I like, and again, it's you know, to like, I've been to a couple of play parties, and that and the testing thing was not, you know, had nothing to do with that process, which, like, obviously it's incredibly important, but also the, like, trying to change the stigma around it, especially in those spaces, just so vitally important.
Just build it into the erotic. It's just a part of the erotic experience.
Yeah, totally. I love that. It's say someone like, say, you know, do you have people like traveling to LA to take part? You know, like, say someone's listening and they're in, I don't know, Vancouver, and they're hearing this and they're like, oh man, I'd love to apply. Like,
drive down the coast.
Yeah. Like, what is the,
oh my goodness. You know, we have like people from, we had like 20 people from the UK come last year, people from Canada, people from, you know, Mexico. You know, I think the furthest was Australia last year. Wow. So yeah, we have people coming all over, from all over the world now, you know, and it's because of these standards that we're putting in place, right? If a new couple is wanting to come to a play party, they're like, one of the things that one of the partners may say is like, I don't want to go because it's just not safe. Like, people aren't tested. Like, I don't know where they've been. And like, you can get STIs all these different ways. And they're absolutely right. But then when you're saying, hey, everybody's tested, like, oh, okay, well, we're starting to take away some of these, you know, reasons we tell ourselves that we can't go to this space. So that was a big one for us, is our health pillar. You know, and then we're one of the only parties that does the interview, right? Like, we're going to check and make sure like you are who you say you are. And that you're conversational, right? Like, in this space, we're looking for, like, you know, it's not about like being good looking. It's just like, yo, can you hold a conversation? It's an awkward space for all of us, right? Like, can we all help make this less awkward? And then the other part of this is you know, what makes us different is the artistry of it, right? Like you can submit your fantasy to our team and it's part of your application, you know, let us know what your fantasy is. And our team will like say, hey, this one, we can really do this one. Like we can really do this one. So if you have a fantasy of like, one of my favorites was a couple that did, wanted to do acro yoga, you know, how can we make acro yoga section? I was like, yeah, just, do acro yoga naked. I think it'll work, you know? And they're like, yeah, that'd be cool. But our boundary is that we want to keep our bottoms on. So they kept their bottoms on and, we just was like, oh, it's totally fine. We're nude bottoms. So what we ended up doing is they picked their favorite song. And I sent them some really cool like videos of like kaleidoscopes to be like, hey, which one do you guys want to like, you know, have your body like cloaked in? And they're like, oh, like this one. So their favorite song played, we projected a kaleidoscope on them so they didn't feel as naked. And so now their bodies are morphing when the kaleidoscopes are morphing over their body and then are being projected over their body. And then we added some smoke to that as well. Cause you know, it's like when you add fog to the projector, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there's an infinity wall behind them. So then you can see like their silhouettes. So, what was cool is that leading up to that is the practice that they went through to get ready. Right. They were like, hey, we went to like another play party and practiced before our performance at the play. And like, instead of being jealous, like, I can't believe you guys are doing the show. It's like, no, this is awesome. Like the fact that you guys are interacting like this in preparation for a sex party, how your relationship got deeper and, you know, your connection and, you know, just how cute is it that a couple's practicing naked acro yoga in preparation for their sex party performance? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, these are beautiful moments that you get to share with your partner. So that's kind of the unique part. And then the other unique part is that we only allow 50% returning guest and 50% new guest, which means you're never the new person at the party, right? Mm-hmm. And so many times you go to these spaces and you're like, fuck, like everybody's going to know each other. We're not going to know each other. Who am I going to talk to? Don't worry about it because 50% of these people have also been in your shoes. And the other 50%, like they're here for the first time too. So you will have something in common. I just used to hate going to play parties, especially in like smaller communities where, you know, it's like, okay, there's 20 of us here. And like, I didn't go on the fucking Tahoe trip. So like, and you know, I'm just meeting everybody. So like everybody's connecting over this thing that they all did. And like, I'm kind of outside and I'm still trying to figure out ways to create conversation. And like, I still don't know, like, what am I supposed to be talking about? So doing the 50-50 really helps, the crowd dynamic. And people
lessens the intimidation factor, you know, like it just makes it a lot more approachable.
So when you arrive at the play, you've already been submitted an application, you've interviewed, you signed an NDA. That's another thing that helps people get comfortable in the space, knowing that because they signed an NDA, I don't have to worry about seeing like Janice from work and her snitching on me, you know. Then we have you submit your STI results and you've purchased your ticket. We're not selling tickets at the door. You know, I've turned celebrities away, like where it's like, oh, I'm so-and-so, you know who I am. It's like, I absolutely do. But like, you didn't go through the process. We don't even know if you're good for this space. This could be just some fun night for you. Like, this is not that space. This is not a bar. And like, this is part of how we're shifting, you know, we want to shift the culture. You can't just pop up to this play party. You know, that's not, there's steps to go through to get here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just a wild night thing. It speaks to people's intention for being in the space, right? The mental preparation that goes in. So when you arrive, we have a bag check, coat check, and phone check. So coat check, obviously, like if you want to wear lingerie, like you can wear that and just, you know, check your coat. Bag check, we want you to bring that favorite fucking sex toy. Bring it. You know, the one that you only get to use with somebody else, like, and you're amazing at it, just bring it. You know, we love it. But more so, this is, you know, one of our taglines are we're artists play. So we want you to bring that canvas and paint. We want you to bring that instrument. We want you to bring your dancing fans. We want you to bring that fun outfit that you never wear. We want you to just bring some of that divine creativity and energy to our space and add to this experience. Just don't bring glitter for obvious reasons. Then we get into the, we have a phone check. We check your phones at the door, right? Now, so many play parties are like, oh, put your phones away. That's the standard. Like, put my phone. It is 2024. Like if my phone goes off in my pocket four times, I'm checking it. I don't care where I'm at. Mm-hmm. If I feel it go off four times, I'm going to look at it. But what ends up happening at the play party is that it goes off. You try to sneak it, you know, try to sneak and look at it. And then somebody looks at you sneaking and look at your phone. It was like, are they getting a picture of me in a very vulnerable state? And you're like, no, I'm not. But like, they can't be sure. So now you have this really awkward interaction with this person all night because they saw you with your phone. You're supposed to have your phone away. Are they going to tell on me? I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Then you go up to them like, hey girl, I didn't know, you know, I saw that you saw me with my phone. I just want you to know I didn't get anything. You can like look through my phone. And then like, you're showing her your phone at a party. And then other people are looking at you guys. Look at the phone. It's just the goal of this environment is to decrease the anxiety. Because if we decrease the anxiety, we can increase our willingness to be vulnerable. So then, so no phone. So we have three rules for when you enter the space. No phones, no money, no hierarchy. These are the things that I and others just hate about society. You know, I hate that you can escape to your phone sometimes, you know, when you're around other humans. I hate that, like, you know, you can be the most charming, cool, you know, down to earth person, but because your finances aren't like at a certain level where society says you're successful, that you feel less than, you know, like, let's just take the money out. This is, once you purchase your ticket for the play, it's an all-inclusive resort. All the food is free. You don't need to tip our bartenders. We make it to where you can't tip our bartenders for that one guy who's like, look at this $100 bill I'm putting in the bowl. Everybody check it out. Like nobody fucking cares, right? We're not, that's not the exchange. That's not the currency in this space. It's energy and like respect and kindness. And then no hierarchy, right? Like any space I can go into, you can go into. There is no VIP. And I'm gonna tell you guys right now, VIP at a play party isn't what you think. Like, you know, it's, I'll just say that VIP at a play party, you know, who's purchasing VIP? Why are they purchasing VIP? Like there's a lot of questions, you know, that go along with that. So just making sure that there is, no one feels less than in this space, right? We're just humans here. So then from 8 to 10 is, we call it like our happy hour, you know, sometimes depending on the theme, we'll have an open bar. We're in Los Angeles, so we have free pre-rolls. So people come in and, you know, we tell everybody, this isn't a fucking party, so don't get drunk. You know, like we'll just kick you out if you get too drunk. But we do understand the psychology behind holding a drink and socializing. It gives you something that normalizes this. Like, okay, I'm in a social setting. I've got my drink and I'm going to walk around with my drink, you know, like, so during that time, the happy hour, we've got like little food, but we've got games, you know, at our last, oh, at our last party, actually, I'll do another one. There was, we've got The Matrix coming up. You know, The Matrix, April 6th, is going to have, it's the only theme that we repeat. So at The Matrix party, we have consent missions. So you're going to be given a mission by two agents when you enter. And that consent mission is going to be like, you know, go up to someone you find attractive and ask to give them a kiss, you know, something light. But it's not about that person accepting the kiss. It's about you practicing asking for what you want and going up to somebody who you desire and having a conversation with them where you can ask them respectfully, hey, I would like to give you a kiss. Is that okay? Right? Mm-hmm. And if they say no, then that is fine. And we also put in the mission, like all these missions are optional. You don't feel like you have to. But like, here's a fun little way to start mixing the crowd, right? And it's giving you a reason to go up to somebody that you don't know, right? We also will have like fire spankings there at my favorite one at the alien disco that we had. We had like butt plug ring toss. I'm like, oh my God, I met Jeremy at butt plug ring toss, like real cool guy. And honestly, like got an awesome flick in the wrist, you know? So you're having like these fun, cool icebreakers, but none of them are mandatory. Right? Like you're just going with the flow of it. Cause sometimes when you have mandatory icebreakers, it can turn people off. So then after that at 10 PM, we close the doors. Oh, also the topic of conversation during that 8 to 10 time, we give it to you. And this is part of, you know, if we're telling you to play baseball, here's some of the rules, right? So we're saying, if you're coming into the play space, the first conversation that you should be having are, what are your boundaries? Right? Let's make the boundary conversation your intro to everyone. you know, to where anybody can come up to you, ask your boundaries, you can go up to anybody else. So if we're starting off saying, hey, what are your boundaries? It's like, well, here's the line you can't cross. Here's what we're looking for tonight. And you can just springboard from that conversation of like, how'd you guys get to these boundaries? Like, oh, okay, thank you. Or like, because we have to be honest with ourselves. At these parties, we are strategizing. We're trying to figure out like, who is the person that we can potentially play with, right? Mm. So we get that out of the way, because I'm like, I'm notorious for having long conversations with lesbian women. You know, before I knew about this thing, and like, we had these deep conversations. We'd be like, so in it until I'd be like, well, hey, like, do you want to play? I was like, oh, no, I'm a lesbian. Like, cool. Nothing wrong with that. You know, however, if I would have asked your boundary from the jump, this 2-hour conversation would have been a 30-minute conversation, you know? But, you know, again, you just want to be more informed. And I think we all want to just figure out like how to move through this space. So we start with that conversation. So then at 10 p.m., we close the doors. We create a closed container. No one can come in the space after 10. I don't care who you are. 10 p.m., we're closing the space off. We gather already around. We cut off the music and we talk about consent, what it looks like, sounds like, and feels like at the play. And that's where we're getting to this second pillar, right? Health was everybody got their STIs in. Now consent. So we're going to have this consent conversation, and, you know, to sum it up, it's like, you know, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no, right? If it's not an enthusiastic yes, it's a no. But if it's a no, how do we celebrate no's? Because that's what we need to do. The same way you receive that no is the same way you should receive the yes. So we give people the tools and the language to accept a no, which is if somebody tells you no, you say, thank you for taking care of yourself, right? Mm. When you verbalize, you know, whatever the term is, thank you for taking care of yourself, it reestablishes that this isn't about, the no isn't to you. It's someone taking care of themselves, right? Like, it's not a no to you as a person. Like, right now, no, I am taking care of myself and what I am looking for. So when you say thank you for taking care of yourself, it's like, oh yeah, it's right. This has nothing to do with me. This is just, that's them. And it's such a respectful way of receiving a no.
Do you also prepare people for how to say no? Because I feel like in that situation, there'd be a lot of like, a lot of times there's like, no, because blah, like there's a desire to explain.
Yeah. Yes. So you guys met with Allie a few weeks ago, and she's our consent fairy. And so we've worked on the consent conversation so many times, but you know, we tell people no is a complete sentence, right? Yeah. And maybe later is a no. And yeah, sure is a no. And like, so we're giving people all these tools to be like, hey, you could say yeah, sure. And they've been told that that's also a no. So we're just giving, like, we're going to give you the language that's out there as well. The common ones to where, yeah, if you say it, we all know that that is a no, you know, and we all know what a fuck like, yes, feels like, you know? So then we also talk about voyeurism, how close is too close. Right. Like, so a lot of people, I've been to play parties and I'm hooking up with my wife, and like, you know, we're a cute couple. So we get like this crowd around us, and I'm just not a big exhibitionist. Right. So I start feeling everyone's energy, and now I'm feeling like I'm having a fivesome, you know, because people are so close. So we call it the COVID rule. If you're within 6 feet, you need to ask, is it okay if I watch? Mm-hmm. Because 6 feet is a good distance. We are in a play space. So you're going to see some shit. But yeah. 6 feet. So making sure that when people are playing, that we're just respecting their scenes. And then we talk about how there's no CNC in the space, right? Like consensual non-consent. We can't do your rape fantasy at a play party. Mm-hmm. Obvious reasons. It's hard to police. So there's that. So that kind of sums it up. Then we go into an intimacy exercise. Now this is where we're adding the magic. Right. So the intimacy exercise, and it's consensual. You don't have to do the intimacy exercise. Majority of the party does. And what the intimacy exercise is, and it's led by like a tantrika or, you know, just somebody who really knows like the whole sensuality scene. And it's eye gazing with 3 or 4 strangers for 30 seconds, not the 2-minute eye gaze where you like start crying, but like 30 seconds. You know what I'm talking about there. Yeah. So 30 seconds to eye gaze with someone, because look, not everybody is a good talker, right? Like, we have to create opportunities for verbal and nonverbal connection, for our what's the word I'm looking for? You know, for our introverts and our extroverts, right? And so many times, you know, you're eye gazing with someone. It's like, when was the last time you did just drop in and looked at someone? And we tell people, don't feel the need to smile. Don't wink. Don't touch them. Definitely don't touch them. Just, this is a silent activity where you're just eye gazing for 30 seconds with 3 to 4 people. Right. And we'll let you know, like, okay, move to the next person. Okay. Move to the next person. Now on your fourth person, we have you exchange your dibs. This is a term we came up with, your desires, intentions, and boundaries for the night. So no matter what, you get to tell one person at the party, this is what I desire. Right? Like, how many times do you go to the play party? You don't even say your desires. Like, I'm there and I'm on a mission. Like, I know what I want from this party, but I never told one person. So how can you expect what you want to happen at the play party happen if you never express it to anybody? So you at least get to, you know, speak into existence. Here's my desire. I think your intentions is self-explanatory. And then your boundaries, right? So let's say you got there at 9:30 and you didn't have the boundary conversation, or you got there early and you just didn't have the boundary conversation. No matter what, in our space, we require everyone to say their boundaries. And that's why, even, you know, going back to the interview, we ask people during the interview, what are your boundaries? Like, have you, because if you can't vocalize it yet, like, you're still going to have to do it at this party. So let's figure it out before you get here. But being able to vocalize your boundaries, there's a lot going on. And especially, like, you know, at the play, like, we have so much shit just happening at all times. It's like Burning Man. You're only going to see like 50% of the shit that's happening at this party. You're going to be overwhelmed. And a lot of people, you know, I talk to guys about this all the time. Like, my first 3 play parties, I couldn't get it up. You know, it was just overstimulated. So what happens when you have that overstimulation? You start to forget about your boundaries. And so by saying your boundaries to one other person, it grounds you back in the space. It grounds you back in your integrity, right? So, you know, yeah. So then we do the boundaries. After the boundaries, we go into the performances. And I've told you about the performances. They're, you know, people from our community. Sometimes we'll pair them up with like an amazing violinist, you know, like, heighten the experience. And it's also LA, which is cool, where it's like everybody's kind of a professional in some performance aspect. So then between each performance, though, also performances are 5 minutes. Ooh. Arguing about how long a performance would be with performers is like what I do. But it's like one of those things where, like, you know, we're in the TikTok era, guys. We're at a play party. And yes, this is the artistic play party, but it's still a play party. So, like, let's do the performance and hold space for that person's expression. But really, what this performance is for, it acts as a connection piece, right? Like, now we have, between each performance is an intermission. So during that intermission, we're giving you the ammo to shoot your shot, right? Like, oh, I've done yoga for years. That couple did yoga. Like, I've done acro. Like, you're having these things to talk about where you're no longer talking about yourself, because we've been doing that leading up. And so, like, let's talk about art. There's no wrong perspective, right? Have you experienced that? I like to say it adds the nuances to flirting, right? So where you're looking across the room at getting eye contact with someone, where, you know, maybe at this performance, you found somebody that you liked, and then the next performance, you're like standing next to them, right? There's so many nuances to connecting with people, but you have to give people a space to connect in where it's not focused just on sex, right? Like, we're focusing on art, but I've got this little side mission here.
And it's true. It is like, whenever I'm at a show, at a music show or anything, I'm always like looking around the crowd and at the way that they're taking it in. I never really thought about that. Interesting. Yeah,
this is like the science of it, that, like, this is why I left my job 2.5 years ago now. Like, this is my passion. This is what I study. I've studied other leaders of play parties. I connect with them. We share information, codes of conducts. This is like the sociology behind this is what really interests me. Like, how to truly connect people and make it an authentic, genuine experience that doesn't feel forced, right? Because when you start doing that, like, yes, the sex is going to happen. But what also is going to happen is, like, this awesome friendship is going to happen. And, you know, we're coming off of COVID where we were so, like, secluded. And now I'm feeling like I'm a part of a community. And, like, this is what, this is the beauty of it. After the play party, after the performances, we're about 3.5-4 hours in, right? But this is an 8-hour experience. The play is from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. And we do it at private residences for this reason. Yeah. So like I said, a day pass to a sex positive festival. So by, 11:30, 12, when we're stopping, most play parties are from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Now you still have that full hour, but you have so much context and conversation and you've seen so much and you know exactly who you want to hook up with, to where we're not dealing with as many consent violations or boundaries being crossed, because I just talked to them about their boundaries for, a couple hours. We've been making eye contact the whole time. We've been not doing a lot of nonverbal communication. Like, we're creating space for that, to when it's time to play, you're going straight for that. I'd say a bad night for us is when 80% of the party ends up hooking up with someone they didn't come with. It gets a little wild, because I see so many couples are like, "Oh, we're probably not going to play." I was like, "Okay, I'm sure of it," And they get there, and because we put all this work into these authentic connections, they end up like that boundary that they had is something that they're rediscussing at the party.
It sounds so incredibly curated, which is the word that keeps coming up for me in my mind about what makes this so special. And I would not be surprised if there weren't a number of listeners tuning into this right now who are just dying to know how they could get involved if this was something that they wanted to do. How can people find the play? How can people apply? How can people get more information?
Yeah, best thing you can do is, you can go to theplay.la. That's it, theplay.la. That'll take you to our website. That'll tell you about the experience, but you can submit your application there. And then once you submit your application, we'll review it. You'd say that, the Turn Me On podcast, was a referral, I guess. I'm new to the referral right now.
We refer you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, I'm new to, I guess that's a referral. Say who refers you. And some people are finding us on Google now. So it's the referral is not the biggest deal at this stage. Yeah. But I would just say, take your time on the application. We have a team of individuals that 7 interviewers, we're taking time out of our day to interview. If you're going to fly through an application, you're not worth our time. You can check us out on Instagram at theplay.la. We are shadow banned because, we're too hot for the gram, baby. Yeah. So just find our logo, and you'll see it as you search. And then the other thing is, we just launched, the Play Network. So just because you're in Canada doesn't mean you can't still be a part of our network. And it's an app to where you can, be on, you still go through the interview process, but if you pass, we'll give you access to the app. You can pick whichever subscription you want, but you'll get access to see all the art that was created at past parties, because every party we have a photographer there that just gets the performances. You'll be able to see who's in your area. You'll be able to message, we have fun categories like nudes for masculine, feminine, us, them, pets. I love the pet nudes is actually the one that's popping off right now. Everybody wants to post their pet nudes. Whatever your kinks are, whether it's spank me, choke me, degrade me, fuck me. And then my favorite category, memes me, because everybody loves a good meme. Memes are my kink. I'm a meme farmer at the end of the day. But the other cool part is we wanted to create win-wins for our community, because we have a lot of artists in there. So if you are an artist, it's the perfect time to post hey, here's my work. This is me and my partner playing, and we're doing flogging, and we did our own art piece, and we can share it with a community that loves it. You can, if you're an artist that wants to sell your art, or if you have a massage service or whatever it is, you can go onto our community and post about it. And that you're at a curated community that gets regularly tested. If you want to do I think there's a category let's hook up tonight. At least, that person that you may hook up with tonight, let's test it.
Very cool.
Do you ever have massage therapists set up there just casually?
We had 4 massage therapists at our last party. It was 7, or I think it was 80 guests, and we had 4 massage therapists. They were going all night, and it just, I think our next party, we're going to have like two massage therapists, but we're going to have one neuro massage because it's like Matrix themed. So we're going to have like one of these, I've got like a kiddie pool, and we're going to put a bunch of neuro massage in there with some lights. So it looks like when Neo got out of, got unplugged. So we'll do that. And the other thing is we have a bunch of partners as well. So let's say, there's a club called a place called the Pleasure Chest. It's a big like sex toy spot. So if you're a member of the play, like you can get discounts on different products, events. We have our sister community, which is a BDSM space. You can go to their parties, discount it. Like I was saying, like I like separating the BDSM from the actual play party. So like people can really drop into that experience versus like trying to have them both there. But I've been rambling. I know we got to wrap this up.
It sounds like an incredible experience, and kudos to you for dedicating your life to offering something like this for people from all over the globe. I mean, it's just, it sounds incredible. Michael, thank you so much, man. Like this has been such a lovely chat, and I'm a fan. I'm a fan of what you're doing. Like, I just think it's so cool.
Thank you both. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. The play.la, is the website. The play.la, is the Instagram. Any other links anybody should know?
No. One last thing. And I say this, I try to end every podcast with this, Jamie, Bridie, what you guys are doing here, this is how we shift the culture, right? Having these conversations, normalizing them, the type of people that you have on here, there's so much shame in this space. And these conversations for so many people are difficult. And, the courage that you guys have to do this day in and day out, whether this is, your passion project or not, this is the type of stuff that, it's not just shifting a culture. It's healing trauma. It's so beautiful. And I can't thank you guys enough for, what you're doing for the community. This is my first time doing a podcast, with people in Canada and, with some Canadians, and it's just awesome to see that people all around the world are trying to change the narrative around non-monogamy and play parties and just like sexual self-expression. So I just wanted to thank you guys for what you're doing. It's felt, it's appreciated, it's honored. And, there's a lot of people that are super thankful for it. So, I want to be one of the individuals to thank you guys personally.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Thank you. And thanks for being a part of it. We're so glad that you took time out of your schedule today to sit and chat with us. This is a real delight. Thanks, man. All right, there we have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed that conversation that we just had. And thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the podcast further, you can do that by leaving a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can simply rate the podcast on the Spotify mobile app. And if you want to support the podcast even further than that, which you can.
Wow.
You can
You're
go to
so kind and thoughtful and so generous. Thoughtful,
so generous. Go to patreon.com/turnmeon. To become a patron and help us keep this podcast afloat.
Well, if you want to reach out to us, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com is always open for all of your messages. That's the best way to get in touch. If you have a question for us, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you have a recommendation for a guest on the show, or if you just want to send us a little love note, email, money transfer, all of that.
Sex toy.
we're our email inbox is open to you.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
Why don't you go touch yourself?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.